morning, and we're glad to be singing about the rock, the stone that the builders rejected, that upon that foundation our lives would be established, and that foundation is the cornerstone of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I'm just feel blessed and honored to be here today, that we'd be with all the kingdom heirs. I wanted just to get up this morning, and all I didn't really have anything on my mind or inspired about, so I wanted to get up and welcome everybody and welcome our guest. Today we have Ginger Smith and Jacob. They came with Holly. Is that right? Glad you're here today. And I hope you come back, visit us again. Good looking young man that they got there with them. Also, we've got, is it Kevy? Okay. From right here in Little Rock. And she's got her hands full back there with some kiddos. Let's see, Keon, Hezekiah, and is it Adam? Okay. But we're glad you came too. We want to welcome you and ask you to visit us again in the future. You got to come at least 7 times, you know, because we'll treat you so many different ways, you're bound to like some of them. And so we're definitely glad you're here today. I want you to feel a part, take part in a service with us. And I'm glad for everybody else here that's here today that maybe don't come as often as they should, but they're here today. I'm glad you're here. You know who you are. And let's see, what we've got a nice crowd this morning. So that's all somebody, surely, maybe I don't have a big part to do today, but somebody here's got something burning on the heart of what's good's happening in their life right now. And how they're being blessed of God. And whether you can share it in a song, a psalm, a poem, a testimony, or even preach to us, prophesy. I just want to get up and open things today. We'll take up prayer requests later on today before we dismiss. And the offering as well at that time, instead of doing it here in the beginning of service. So I just wanted to welcome everybody here today.
I'd like to have all the kids that and young people that helped out in the gym and in here Friday night stand up. Y'all keep standing for a second. I told some customers that I was going to be up here and was going to, all our youth was, y'all keep standing up. I want everybody to get a good look at you. I told some customers that I was going to have these kids up here painting in the gym, and he said, "You're going to have kids painting in the gym?" He goes, "Isn't that like herding cats?" I said, "I don't know, but they sure did a good job." So I just wanted to give them special recognition because it really looks good, and I didn't have to chase anybody, and it all went really good. So I really appreciate them. Thank you.
Lately, I've been going through a lot of trials and tribulations, but There is one thing that's in my heart, and I think it should be in everybody's heart. And there's just one thing that I'd like to say, and it starts in Psalms 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I think that if everybody would just think just a little bit about all the things that they go through every day and all the things that doesn't work for them, it might be a test. It might not be a test. But if you put the Lord in your heart, and it says your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and all the other things that are there, if you put the Lord first and Jesus first, it everything else will be all right. And it seems to me, every time I get down on my knees and I thank God for everything I have, this church, my friends here that I've met since I've been coming here, and all the good things that I have at home, and even the bad things that are happening to me, it seems like it's all good. And if I keep thinking every day, every night, and I keep saying my prayers before I go to sleep, and the first time I open up in the morning, I open my eyes up and I think that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can give everything away. When Moses led the Jesus, I might have it mixed up, but Jesus asked this rich man, he said he wanted to follow him. He said, "Go give everything away." But the guy said, "I can't do that. Money's too much for me. I mean, I can't give everything away." And so the guy left. He didn't follow Jesus. You know, the Lord will provide everything for you. And if everybody understands that Jesus and the Lord, they're the person that does everything for everybody. And the Bible is the living word of God and Jesus. And that's why Jesus came to earth. And that's why we're Christians. And if we put them first, everything will be better. And that's all I need to say. And thank you all for being here. And God bless.
Just want to say how thankful I am to be here today and thankful for everybody else that's here. And had this on my mind this morning. Verse came to my mind. It says, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's what it says in Matthew 16:26. And then in Mark 8:36 it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then in Luke 9:25, it says a little different. It says, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" I've been thinking about that, how it seems like it has to do with your purpose in life. And we're trying to find a balance in our life, Angie and I, you know, as far as what our purpose is. But I know that ultimately you can stack up all the money that you want to, and if that's your only purpose for being, you know, in business, and if you know your only purpose for coming to church is just to pay your tithes, so you could be more blessed or, you know, whatever it is, that's not really what God designed us for and purposed in us. And when it talks about losing your own soul, I can relate that to more losing what your true purpose is in life. You know, that soul purpose that God put inside of us, which is to share the love of Christ with other people. So I'm really thankful to see things like that. And I know that we all have a divine purpose for being here. And a lot of people think that it's just to serve God in the sense of being on your knees every day in prayer. But there's a lot more to it than that. To me, that divine purpose is sharing that love with every person that walks through my door in business every day. It's showing others that there is a better way in life, as far as that you don't have to be miserable all the time. You don't have to pop the pills that you're popping or smoke pot every weekend just to, you know, or every night just to make it through the day. There is a better way. There's a peace that you can have inside of you that leads you and guides you and relieves you, releases you from those things, and that there's a higher level of consciousness, I guess you would say, that comes from your heart and your soul where God lives. And when you have that living and reigning in you, that those desires just fade away. You know, I have to be in business, not have to, I'm not forced to. I could give up all my possessions that I have and just be broke. I've accepted the fact that that could happen, and I'm okay with that. It's not that big of a deal. My truck don't make me or break me. It's just a truck. You know, the heated seats are nice and the leather's nice, but if I didn't have it, I'd still be me, and I'd still have peace in my heart and love in my heart. So the truck don't make me. The business don't make me. Money don't make me. But a lot of people that come into my business, that's all they're looking for. They're just looking for that outward version, and that's great for me because then I get to teach them that there's an inner place. You know, there's an inner place. What you're really looking for is not the money that you think you are. It's that peace in your soul that only the Spirit of God can give you. And as a result of that, a lot of people say, well, you're so blessed in business, Tyrone, like Brother Tally was saying. But what people don't realize is it's kind of like that farmer that had that beautiful farm where the Baptist preacher drove by one day and he said, you should have seen this place when God gave it to me. So there's a certain amount of stuff that God expects out of us. You know, no matter what you're doing in life, you have to put the effort for it if you want the result. It's kind of a, you know, mixed message what I'm saying, but I'm touching on a lot of different things that I've been dealing with and going through lately. And, you know, we do all have a divine purpose in life, and sometimes I believe that different people have different purposes because God gave us all different personalities, and every personality doesn't fit every purpose, you know. But if you study Jesus and the way that he walked, he had a perfect blend of all four personalities. So I also believe that as God transcends us in our life and transforms us, that he can make us blend better so that we can reach to more people in a deeper way, because those four personalities have a lot of character traits in them that allows you to deal with different people on a different level. And that's just like in sales. That's why when I teach a new person that when they go out to show 12 people, they're going to sell four machines. The reason why they don't sell the other eight is because it's a personality conflict. Because if they were a master of personalities and character, they would know exactly what that other person needed, and they would be able to offer that to them and present it to them in a way that they would completely understand it, and they would sell every deal, you know, unless the people just weren't qualified to buy what we have. So, and it's the same, though, when we're dealing with people, as far as witnessing to people and sharing that love with them. If we can't convey the message to them, then it's dead. It's just like going in those homes and showing those 12 people, but nobody buys anything from you because you can't get the message across to them. That's the same relationship that we have with people in this world. If we don't have the wisdom in dealing with people, it doesn't matter how much law we have or how good we are or that we come to church every Sunday and dress in our perfect suits, we're still not reaching people to the level that we could be. So I'm really thankful that there is a way to reach people and offer that peace to them But it takes a lot of study. A lot of people don't realize I am in business, but I study constantly. My wife, a lot of times, asks me at night for the last 3 hours before I go to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning why I read so much. And I try to read her a little bit of it. She's like, it's too deep for me. She don't even want to hear what it is, because it is deep stuff. But the more you read and the more you understand, that's what I've learned from a lot of the stuff that I've read in the last 3 years, is that there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of answers in the way that you deal with people. And a lot of them went outside the mainstream box to find those ways of how people understand things. And most of the ones that I've read in the last 3 years that are really, really spiritual people have said that, you know, nobody can truly bring God into your heart. They can only show you the path and show you that there is a path, and then that's something you have to do, getting on that path and then following that way. So there's 1,000 different people that say it in 1,000 different ways, but I guess ultimately what I'm getting down to is that I feel like if we can, and this is what I've done in my life, I've taken all the experiences that I've been through, negative and positive, and I've accepted the lessons that I got out of them, and I found out that I didn't go through all those things for nothing. For a long time, I thought I did, you know, and I kind of resented it, and I kind of hated it. I wondered why I had so many problems. But the more you read other people, and this is why I like the internet so much, the more that you read that there's millions of other people out there that went through those same things in their childhood and in their early adulthood life, and some of them even still have a lot of stuff to work on now, usually the reason why you go through that is because when you get those lessons out of that, you have a lot more to share with people. You have a lot more understanding. It gives you a lot more wisdom in life. But a lot of people out there, and this is what I've noticed, is they still don't see that. They're hung up on what they went through instead of what they learned from what they went through. And I think that's a lot of the types of people that we could bring to God if we could help them to see that there's a reason why they're going through so much hell in their life. And that reason is so that they can accept that there is something greater than their self. And then if you take those testimonies, imagine how many lives that would touch, how far out that would reach. So I just feel like that's been on my heart lately. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the Good Samaritan. You know, well, a lot of people would say, well, that guy's not of my religion, so I wouldn't help him. Or that person over there is not dressed perfect, so let's leave them out. Or, well, it don't look like his flat's too bad, so I'll just pass him by. He's probably got it. But that Bible, it wasn't only talking literally, it was talking spiritually too. But in our life, what we do literally is a reflection a lot of the times is what's in our heart. So it just kind of all ties together in that if we don't offer this world love like we should, that is, I feel like that's my number one calling in life, is to offer the world love and to help people, direct them and guide them to a different way, to understand that there is a higher power working in their life or trying to work in their life, if they would just accept that there is a spark of that in everybody. There's a seed for that in everybody. And they're the ones that have to do something about it, though. They have to dig through all that mess and that crap in their life that they're going through and realize that that spark's there for a reason, and that's why they have so many problems a lot of times, is because, similar to myself, I had a lot of problems growing up in my life, and I don't blame them on nobody. That's another thing. There's nobody to blame, not my parents, not God, not y'all. There's nobody to blame. That's part of being accountable, is accepting. Like the Serenity Prayer says, I've been reminding myself of that every single day. It's been in my kitchen window for about 5 years now, and I read it all the time, but there's a difference between reading something and applying it. And I realize that there's a lot of things in life that you absolutely, positively, 100% cannot change. You cannot go back in your past and rewrite it. You can't. That's a fact. But I've met millions of people who didn't understand that concept too, and that's why they stay stuck in the same cycles in their life, and it creates, you know, they stay in abusive relationships, they keep getting the same types of jobs over and over, and then running off from them when they get them. They attract the same type of people all the time. I mean, it goes a lot deeper than what we see. So in teaching people that there is a cycle in life that you can break if you have the right tools. And, you know, if you think about it, God gave us all the tools that we need to do the work that He's called us to do. Because each step of the way, if you look at what you had to learn, you know, in one area, you gather to pick up, you know, a pick to dig with. And you may not use that now, but it's in your tool shed. And that's kind of how I always looked at it. I've got a huge tool shed of tools. And you never know when you're going to need one of those tools to do some kind of work. But if you don't have that tool and that opportunity arises, how can you do the job? You know, and it goes back into my literal life. I've got all kinds of tools that I hardly ever use, but if I see one at a garage sale or something, I think I might use it in the future, I buy it, because tools are something that they're you know, they have a high value, because you never know when you're going to need one. If you don't have it, you're in trouble, especially if the neighbor isn't home. But that's the same with our spiritual life. I feel like if we look at our life and all the things that we go through, that it's not necessarily to make us suffer. A lot of people say, well, you know, when you suffer, it creates a greater penance in your heart. But is that truly the reason why? Or is it to produce whatever God's looking to produce in our life, so we have the tool and the key to share that with somebody else? Because if we don't know how to unlock the door, how can we show somebody else the way? You know, that doesn't necessarily mean we can give them that key and unlock it for them, but I guarantee you, there's been thousands of people that have came through my business, and they didn't stay there, but after a while, I start seeing a pattern. Sometimes people just come through to get a little mustard seed. That's all they can accept. You know, just a tiny little piece of what I was throwing out in those sales meetings. But I guarantee you, at some time in their life, and somebody told me not too long ago, they said, you know, you do change people's lives. You may not always see it, because a lot of times people leave before I get to see that I've even helped them. But I do believe that if we keep planting those seeds in the heart of man, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, in any way that we can, that eventually somebody's going to water that. And they're going to, eventually that person's going to get the point that, you know what, there is more to this than what meets the eye. So I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm glad that God's filled my tool shed up, and I'm sure there's people, a lot of people in here that have some big old tool sheds too. And as long as we keep our chainsaws sharpened and our picks sharp and our shovels sharp, when the time arises, we'll be able to use them all. And that's what I look forward to in life, is using the tools that God has given me to help other people to be the absolute best that they can, and ultimately for them to realize that there's a higher power in their life that controls the whole show, or runs the whole show.
God is good, isn't He? You know, that song, that was one of my favorite songs. Come and let us magnify the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Even when you're down in the valley or in you on top of the mountain, He's still worthy to be praised. And if you've been in a walk with the Lord for a long time, you would know how worthy He is to be praised. And sometimes me, because it's always the battle with me. God, I can't see you, but I know you're there, because your word said you're going to always be there for us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, we might turn our shadow around or my shadow around, but I know that's a blind spot. I need to turn back that 180 degrees back so I can walk in the light, see the light, and understand the light of God and His precious love. You can't measure it with nothing. in this world. There's, I mean, you know, God's love. I mean, allegory, you say, is deeper than the ocean, wider than the sea, higher than the mountains. But to really have it in your heart, you can't even compare it to that. Because his love is so good. You know, and the flesh, it does like to have its way, doesn't it? And sometimes I do entertain it, and sometimes I say, Lord, give me strength not to entertain it. And, you know, but you have to be sincere in your heart if you want God to do something for you. You know, but I know it rains on the just and the unjust the same. Because he says good like that, isn't he? God is good. He's just good like that. How can you not acknowledge him? I don't know. I'm older, you know, I'm kind of up there. But when I was young, I knew I needed him. And this church right here took me in and wrapped me with their love. Something I wouldn't have never found in the world. Didn't even understand the love of God until one day I let him in my heart. And I found what I've been missing in my soul, in my life. You know that dot, dot, dot everybody keep talking about, you know? It's God. It's God. I'm just thankful to be here today. I have my trials, my tests, tribulations. Sometimes I want to run and say, oh, Lord, I don't want to face this one today, or however long it might last. It's going to last a long time if I don't try to say, Lord, give me help. Help me. Help me get through it. Help me go over it. Help me accept it. And if I fail, when you bring it to me again, let me remind me, we've been here before, and that's what you're going to do. I'm going to trust you, God. I think that's the main thing about serving God, is trusting him. Trusting God. The love of God, trusting God, and learning how to live for God. You know, to die daily, it is a challenge, but it's good to die daily. You know, Brother Tyrone, I listened to you about the professional part. You know, I am in leadership, so I get to go to a lot of leadership meetings. And you can parallel that with your spiritual life if you got a vision and a love and a joy for God, and you can understand, you know, how man can make you feel all pumped up and positive and go get it, and some of that stuff is just hot air, but because you know, I know that don't last long. It's just pleasing the flesh, and you stay on that high for about however long your flesh will let you stay there, because it's not real. As God is real. You know, so, and when you're in these leadership meetings and you getting all pumped up with these motivator speakers and in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I already know that because the word says that, you know. The word of God says that. So I don't know what else man can do to create something that make you feel like you're doing something when the word of God is already in my blue path and telling me what I need to do to be that person that can motivate somebody, to lead them to this way. I'm so thankful I get that opportunity, Brother Tyrone, because in the role that I'm in, people is in my office and talking to me. But have you tried God? You know, you can only say that to so many people, but it depends on what that conversation is. Let's pray together. Let's think about God. Hey, let's find a scripture today to help us get through this day. You know, because every day is a challenge. And when you're working with people, no offense to us women, but most of us women, that's always going to be some friction. And so in this leadership class I went to, it says how an alligator sheds its skin. You know, and I read the book, and I read it, and I said, well, Lord, that's what Paul said, that we need to die daily. Well, I'm shedding. I'm shedding. You know, I mean, I'm thinking this while this motivator speakers up talking. I'm like, God, you're so good. You let me see your word. You let me understand your word. And they went to school all these years, and I only been, you know, sitting under your ministry for a long time, but I didn't have to pay for it. But my sitting here, you know, I didn't pay all them thousands of dollars in this book she done put out. Shed the negativity. Well, that's what God has me looking at growing in the Lord is you have to be a light. And I can't be a light that's under the bushel. So being a light, you're going to be positive. You're going to see everything in the positive way. You got a light. Well, I have a light. That light is Jesus, and I know that. I know that God has done something for my life. You know, I'm thankful. You know, this is a testimony right here. My husband's sitting here with me. And I know he comes sometime with me, without me. Sister Tally, thank you for reminding me that. But, you know, why would I give up? I can't give up. God, look where God has brought me to, you know. And I went to a church the other night, and I'm like, okay, God, you really put me in a place that says you're going to need more than just this milk. You're going to need some meat to survive. And so the word that I was hearing, it was still tickling my ears. The word that I hear here, it feeds my soul. You know, so, I mean, it changed my life. It really did. It changed my life. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm really, you know, sometimes I do have my challenges, but God is in my heart. He said, I'm going to put my word in your heart, you know. So I'm so thankful that he planted that in my heart years ago. And the world can't take that from me. It can't. I have to let it go. I have to say, no, I don't want. But I'm afraid because there's that scripture that says he'll turn me into a reprobate mind. That's a fear for me. I enjoy what I feel. I enjoy the word of God. I understand a lot of scriptures that when Jesus was preaching on the mountain, it's so simplicity to me now. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm just up to say how thankful I am. And do I get opportunities to witness to people? You know, and first people going like, well, you know, what kind of church you go to? Well, it's one of those shouting churches and praising. And ain't no sense of cola cutting it for you and smoothing it out for you. Because you're going to have to do it one day. Soon I had to. I mean, I had to tell the truth about it. Now I came, you know, like, oh, come on and see, you know, see if you like it. Well, let me tell you what we do. And I have to say, you know, they did that in the early church. So what make you think we can't do it down here now? You know, so they dance, they shout, they fall out loud, but they be, God, touch your heart. If you don't feel that presence from God touching your heart, you know, you just be, I John the Baptist, as he came and said, I come to convert you. And I thank God I've been converted. But he had something else better for me. I had no idea what God had planned for my life. You know, I'm peculiar, but I love it. It took me a while to, you know, anytime you fall in love with somebody, you have to embrace it. I fell in love with the Lord when he filled me with his Holy Ghost. He took my feet out the miry clay. He turned my life around. And he gave me a vision of his people. That's better than gold, isn't it? I know that. You know, I might do some crazy stuff, but that I know what I got. And it's better than gold. And it gets better and better, if you want to say gooder, gooder, finer, or you fall in love with him over and over and over. And I'm thankful for his love. That's what I'm thankful for, his love. And, you know, just keep praying. He said, keep trusting me. Trust me. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I believe that, and that comes from trials, tests, ups and downs, craziness, whatever you want to call it. In Hinds 22, you look back and say he was in it all the time. All the time. He's good like that, isn't he? And some things we don't understand, and we can ask why. And you might not know why, never. But if you trust God, he know why we have to go through some things we do. And sometimes I'm like, well, probably because I'm so stubborn and, you know, my will is so strong. And that's why. So that's good enough for me. So that means, well, what you going to do about that? Well, I guess I better work on that will. Give me strength. And he'll give me strength, right? So I'm thankful to be here today and thankful for our guest today. All right. Come back, you know. I think Brother Michael said about 7 times. See, it'd probably be that long before I probably get up again. So, won't be me. You know, but God is good. He knows the tools that he needs to use. I don't. We don't. We don't know what tool he's going to use today, but whatever tool he uses is for his people. And he directs us. I'm glad I walked through this well. The Lord led me this way. I think I was like 22, 23 years old. And all I knew was what you do every day, you know. Hang out with your friends, go to work. And all that negativism, do this, do that. It just was so overwhelming. What is life all about? What is my purpose? Why am I here, God? And someone said, come go to church for me. And here I am. Here I am. That was a long time ago. Well, don't be laughing. Yes, it's, you know, with God, it's always good, even as I know if you humble yourself and you get down on your face and you call out to God sincerely with your heart, he forgives you. That sin is thrown away. And he said, get up. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Just keep on going. Just don't give up on God. He's always there. You know, he's always there, and he knows what he's doing. I believe that. He says he's the Omega, right? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I see that. I believe that. I believe he is, you know, like, coming back on that white horse. I do believe that. That's that vision that was planted in me probably 20-something years ago. And I believe it's still today, the way we've been taught how that God is coming back after his people. And I want to be a part. I do want to be a part. I don't know. I'll be dancing or shouting or whatever, however the tool be used. I want to be praising God and giving him the glory. I mean, he's awesome. Thank you.
I don't know if I've had too much caffeine or I need to get up, so I guess I'll take my chances. I just wanted to read this really quick in 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wherein is our love made perfect, and that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
this this lady that just got finished speaking, she really touched my heart when she said, talked about the Lord. And I can't pronounce the chapter it is, but it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And then down a few chapters, I know that whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doth it, and man should fear before Him. And I believe that God made it that way, and God meant for it to be that way. And that's why I said earlier that my God, and I think everybody's God that believes in this book, the Bible, that He's our shepherd. And He sent His only begotten Son to us so we could be Christians. And I don't think it could be any other way. And He moves in mysterious ways. And I think it's the greatest thing that we can count on. And nobody's perfect because we're not Jesus. And nobody can be Jesus because He's the only perfect person in the world. And bless His heart and bless His soul and bless God and Jesus. And hallelujah, hallelujah for that. And bless God.
I think we found the words now.
blessed with many things. God's been good to me. I have family and friends who share in all. With many things. Cannot.